Speaking on this program is Foy Stiles.
I would like for you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 10. I think we can learn a great deal about the people of Israel, the people that Paul was having to daily deal with, and we can understand his concern, his prayer in his lifetime. Paul starts us as brethren. He's addressing people here that he's willing to call brothers and sisters in the family of God. He said, brethren, my heart's desire. Now here we begin to see inside the inspired apostle a little bit. He said, I'm going to share something with you here. I have a deep longing within my heart. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul, what are you saying to us? Let's paraphrase just a little bit. Paul says, let me open up, let me reveal to you a deep longing that I have. I am a member of the Lord's body. By and large, my nation is not. Most of the Israelites have said no to Christ. Most of them have emphatically said no to the cross and to the benefits and the blood that we can derive from that. He says, here are my people back here, basically in a lost condition. Are you concerned about it, Paul? I can almost see tears running down the page here. You read that and read that and read that. Forget about television. Forget about all the nonsense going on around us. And get off somewhere like the Bible says for your prayer. Get off somewhere and close the door. Get some privacy. And if you'll study your Bible in the same condition we're taught to have our prayer, you can begin to feel that you're very close to the inspired apostle. You care about those people that lost Paul? Yes. Not only do I care about them, I'm praying about it. We studied last Wednesday night, for those of you that were here in the adult class, about the rich man and Lazarus. And have you ever thought about the prayer meeting in hell? Here was a man on earth that had all kinds of opportunity for prayer. He basically said no to those opportunities. And then after death, he finds himself in a situation that he was not comfortable with. And then it was time for prayer. Oh, I pray thee, Father Abraham, send someone over here to dip the finger in water and don't touch my tongue. I pray thee, Abraham, send someone back, talk to my five brethren. We can learn some things from that. Number one, he was still aware that he had five brothers up here on earth. He was aware that they were coming just as straight to where he was as his presence there. You talking about a prayer meeting in hell and someone serious with their prayer, here's an individual praying seriously. Well, what we have in front of us here in Romans chapter 10 is someone else praying seriously. Not that they're lost, but they see that others are going to be. So the Apostle Paul then says, brethren, my heart's desire, I can see it ripping open. My prayer to God, when I get down on my hands and knees and I pray to God about all the good things that's happened, I can thank Him for all the thousands been baptized. I can thank Him for all these fine young men that's now willing to preach or whatever. But He said, I also pray about thousands or yea millions out here that's bound for hell because they don't care for Jesus. Paul said, I'm concerned about it. It tears me up. What do you want, Paul, when you're praying to God? What does verse 1 say? I would like for them to be saved. If they continue as they're presently going, can they be? No, they're lost, hell-bound, because they said no to God's Savior. So we look then at verse 2. Paul said, now I'll tell you something about them. I'm firsthand acquainted with them. This is not rumors. This is not gossip. I didn't read about it in the Tennessean. Paul says, I can be a witness concerning this. I can do it firsthand. He says, for I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. Are they religious? Yes, they are. Are they lost? Yes, they are. Very lost, hell-bound. Religious? Yes. I want to impress that upon you infallibly. They're as religious as they can be, but they're going to hell. Because as verse 2 continues, when you get past the comma, it says what they are doing religiously is not according to knowledge, period. That's all needs to be said on it. They're not doing it God's way. So he says they're in trouble. Now let's go on, Paul. Tell us just a little bit more here. You've drug us out here on this island of suspense. Tell us something, Paul. He says, for they, who's a they? My brothers and sister Israelites that are not Christians. They are ignorant of what God wants them to do. Now this ignorance is of their own choosing, friends. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, what did they do? They went about to establish their own. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't much care what God wants. God wants me to be religious. So I'm going to do something that is religious in nature, religious in appearance. I'm going to do something here that satisfies my needs and probably many other people around me. And together, we're going to be a religious body. Zealous? Yeah. We have that many times today. I had a flight to California a few years ago, and I was seated with a number of Mormons. Open briefcase, got my testament out, and I was sitting there reading. One of them looked over at me and says, glad you're reading your Bible, something like that. We started talking a little bit. And since this is about a 3.5-hour flight, we had a pretty good visit. And he started explaining to me how that they save their own money to pay their own expenses, to set aside 2 years of their life that they would leave home and go out and knock on doors and everything else. I sat there with admiration for those young men I was talking to. I saw a house burn up here one time on Sparta Street, and the first people got there besides me, and I was embarrassed that I didn't have enough sense to do something faster. The people on the old Church of God on West Sparta Street, the old rock building, been there for eons. I don't tell you how long, but they'll age me with you. But that house, the fire department hadn't gotten there, and there were a bunch of people up there in the Church of God, West Sparta Street. This woman standing outside in the cold, and this lady and a bunch of them down there came up there, and they started putting coats on them. They said, come on over here and sit in our car. You don't need to stand out here in the cold. Let the fire department do what they can. Friends, we think we're pretty hot sometimes. We think we're pretty religious, and we think we're pretty good people. We've got a lot of people around us not armed with the truth at doing every bit of a good job as we are in trying to do what they believe to be. Now, since we've got the truth here, we need to be a lot more on the ball than what we are. We need to be more dedicated in what we are. We need to be a people involved more in Bible study, more in prayer, but somewhere we've got to go out into the world and make contact. As long as we sit here and say, well, if they want to come here, they're welcome. Oh, the door's unlocked. Let them come on in. Paul didn't do that. Paul went into the city. The first place he usually went was to the synagogue. Paul, what's wrong with you? Don't you know our brethren down there meeting down there on 77, you know, Black Avenue or something like that, and you haven't gone down there and had a service them yet? They're saved. Now, here's some people that's lost. I'm going to them first. We need to take a real good hard look at ourselves as to how that we can be more effective. Somehow the community needs to know that we exist. And they need to know that we are aware they exist. They need to know that we care for them and that we are here for them, and we need to be knocking on their doors. Remember the song, Never Told Me About Him? Standing there in judgment, be a terrible time to realize there stands a neighbor that we never said a word to. Back to Paul. Paul, you're praying. You're worried about them. Verse 3, they've not bothered to study God's Word in any detail. They established their own laws. They set up their own form of religion. They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And right there is a key word that you ought to underscore. Don't ever get too good not to write in your Bible. That's like a road map to heaven, and I sit down going somewhere, I don't hesitate to take a map, take a highlighter, and say, here's my route. There's a word right here, submit. There's not a person here who can write a decent definition of submit. Paul said these people are lost and going to hell because they have not submitted themselves unto what God has prescribed for them. Friends, you don't be lost and go straight to hell. Don't submit to what God has told us to do. And we can go there and enjoy the discomforts of hell with all the rest of people said no to God. Verse 4, Paul says, for Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you have a good, clear understanding of the law of Moses, it was like a patch put on a tube a few years ago. When my wife and I were courting, I thought I was pretty hot, having an old rattle trap of a car, and we decided one Sunday afternoon at church we were going to ride Chattanooga back. And we got back, and I believe it was five flats later. We jacked that thing up. She wanted to know if I was trying to marry a mechanic or a wife. We jacked it up, took the tire off, tube out, scrape on it, patch it, burn it, put it back on, pump it back up, go a little way, and pow. If you can think of the current school bus issue, a lot of counties lack funding. Those buses are go to point A and pick a child up and deliver that child to point B. And when they get to point B, they expect that child to get off that bus and go into that classroom and put forth its best effort to learn to be a better citizen, to learn to be a better, more educated human being. The law of Moses is very similar to that school bus. It is referred to in the New Testament in a sense like unto a school bus. It was to go here and get Israel out of sin. They were off sidetracked, having a terrible time of it. Go over here and pick up Israel at point A and bring them over here to point B, which is Christ on the cross. And then it's over with. Verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To how many people? To believers. The rest couldn't care less. The Muslims, do they care about this? No. By and large, your Roman Catholics don't care about it. There are a lot of people that don't care about this. But Paul said, by inspiration, to those that are informed, to those that care, to those that submit, to those that understand my prayer and concern for the lost, that's trying to do something about it, they have this great zeal according to knowledge. And see, you can take these first four verses, and you've seen over here Israel's lost condition. You come across that up, okay, here is the Israel of the New Testament, and saved people today are part of the Israel of the New Covenant. You can say, well, here's what's necessary to be saved today. It is that I have a zeal, and it is to be according to knowledge. It is that I'm going to submit to the plan of God. It is that I understand the purpose of Christ. With all of these things, it can become very revealing to us, very helpful to us. And he said in verse 5, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. If I, and I've heard friends over and over say, oh, I love the Ten Commandments. Oh, I believe I can live with the Ten Commandments and be okay. There's more like 476 of those commandments. And now you got to break one of them. Just break one of them. How would you like to go out this morning in the hog lot? You go out to the hog lot there and you count out all your little pigs. Take out one of the better ones for God. Here you are. Another one for God. Here you take a shovel out of the bin out there and start shoveling up grain. Here's one sack for the Lord and another sack over here for yourself. Scoop for the Lord. 9 scoops over here. Every 7 years you let your farm lay out. You turn your cattle loose. People talk about the law of Moses. Don't know what they're talking about. People say they like to go back to the law of Moses. They don't have any inkling whatsoever what the law of Moses is all about. Forgiving everybody's debt over so many years. You get the Jubilee year. Give everybody land back that you bought. Oh, they don't know. People talking about the law of Moses have not yet read the law of Moses with any clarity. But Paul said, oh, here's some brethren that's lost. They've sort of gone back and they've been dabbling just a little bit in the law of Moses. They've gone back there just enough. They've set them up a form of religion. But it's all wrong. Let's make sure we're right, brethren. Let's study an awful lot. Let's remember we got a road map. Let's don't be afraid of it. Because we can go to heaven or we can go to hell, same as the rest of the people say no to the Lord. We can go to heaven or we can go to hell, same as the rest of the people won't submit to the Lord. We need to be studying. We need to be doing a lot more than what we are.